When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in. Game Time Decisions live on a Monday night. We have Joe Maddon with us here to open it up. We've got Craig Mish around the corner as well as Dave Sharapan. We're loaded here in the second hour on a Monday night. Joe, great to have you with us again. I know we set the stage for the upcoming games, which you're going to have first pitch within about the next 10 minutes or so. But we have a lot more starting from 8 o'clock and beyond. Let's start with this Red Sox-Astros game here tonight. It's Tanner Houck and it's Yusei Kikuchi. What do you like in this one between Houston and Boston?
Well, firstly, I'm glad Kikuchi is with the Houston Astros now, and he's actually been really strong in his three performances with them. He's really limited those runs, but I don't think that happens here today. We look at the Boston Red Sox and their ability to get these runs on the board. This offense is really being clicking as of late, and I think it continues to be able to produce those runs tonight. Now, when we look at Tanner Houck coming out here for the Boston Red Sox, he's been allowing those runs to come in, giving up three or more runs in eight of his last 11 starts. So I do expect both of these teams to be able to get the runs on the board. I'm going to go nicely to the over in this one, Kevin, the over 8.5. We're coming in at minus 100, minus 110 in some places now. But I do think this will be a higher scoring game. We know the Astros offensively have had their best offensive production at home. So give me the over.
It's understandable. My favorite bet in this one is the Boston team total, Joe, 3.5, minus 115. I really like this lineup against the lefty in Kikuchi, who I understand he's, as you said, he's been good for Houston, but I still don't fully trust him. And I think there's enough pop tonight for that Boston lineup to get over a 3.5 number. How about the Kansas City Royals here going up against the LA Angels? Seth Lugo has the baseball here at home. Anything jumping off the page?
Yeah, looking at this one, I really do think the Kansas City Royals are playing fantastic ball at the moment, and they should be able to get the win. Now, if you want to get them for the win tonight, you have to take them on the run line. Otherwise, you're laying a too much juice. And I do like them on the run line here to be able to come out and cover. And I know when we look at Seth Lugo, we look at his stats on the run line for their wins. They haven't been covering it with him. But against the LA Angels here and Fulmer coming out for them, I really do expect that offensive production out of the Kansas City Royals that we really did see this weekend to come to life in this game as well. I'm looking for them to hit him nice and hard. And when I look at who I think is going to hit him the hardest out there, I am looking at Salvador Perez. He's coming in for the home run at plus 340. He's done well versus the Angels in his career. 64 hits, 10 home runs, 30 RBIs and 27 runs over 53 games versus the Angels. So I know a lot of people are going to want to bet Bobby Witt Jr., and I don't blame you. I love what we're seeing out of Bobby Witt Jr., but when you look at his numbers, he has had those struggles versus the LA Angels in his career. He hasn't been able to put up the big numbers like he does against some other teams. So I'm staying off Bobby Witt, but I still do think it's still worth a bet, Kevin, here, because Bobby Witt is strong. I think Perez is the stronger of the two, though.
Yeah, Bobby is spectacular. I do wonder if at some point my Yankee fandom will catch up and make me not like him, only because he is what stands in front of Aaron Judge having this triple crown. But also, that's probably unfair to Bobby Witt Jr., who rocks and is still batting an outrageous 350 on this season. Joe, how about Minnesota from the AL Central? They go to San Diego. We know this Padres team has been red hot, 70-55 now all of a sudden. This is a team that when the second half of the year started, they were a 500 ball club. I mean, they've just been out of control. I know they dropped the series against Colorado, but back home here for a series with Minnesota, anything jump off the page?
Yeah, absolutely. I do think this is a great night for the Padres in this one, especially with this pitching matchup. King is coming out here for the Padres, and he's been phenomenally strong. Now, overall in the season, it's only a 3.19 ERA, but when we look at his last, I believe it's seven starts, he's been able to drop that ERA to 1.94. He's been phenomenally strong out there, and I really do see him doing some damage here versus the Twins and limiting their ability to get any runs on the board. I could see him completely holding them off the board here. Minnesota has a total of 3.5. I will take that to the under again. It's a little juicy at -136, but I do think it is a solid bet in this game. I don't want to take the full game under, though, because we know the San Diego Padres at any given moment can really rack up those runs, especially against the right-handed rookie coming out here, Matthews. This will only be his second start in the MLB, so I'm coming out really cautious with him. Now, he has a strike out number of 3.5 at -120. When we look at his numbers in the AAA, he was absolutely fantastic at being able to get those strikeouts. I just don't know if I think the Padres are going to strike out that much versus him because the Padres have such a low strikeout rate. So I'm staying off that, but I will look at King here for his strikeouts. Over 6.5 strikeouts for King coming in at -148. Again, it's juicy, but you could always parlay some of these pieces together. So it was -145 earlier in the day. We have seen that movement, but he's been able to get those strikeouts on the board. In his last seven, he's been able to record in his last three, at least seven strikeouts. So I'm looking for those strikeouts again today, Kevin.
We've also got a matchup with Oakland and Tampa. I think this is the only game from my card I didn't mention. I'm actually on the Rays at -125 money line because I think there's multiple ways that they can get the job done here, whether that's Taj Bradley bouncing back a little bit or if that's Joe Boyle continuing to be bad. And if Boyle's bad, Joe, then that's fine if Bradley's bad, which is, I think, the direction you're looking in this game.
Yeah, we look at Bradley here. He's 6-7 on the season with a 3.49 ERA. He's not as bad as those numbers do say, though, because he just hasn't got that run support out of the Tampa Bay Rays. This is an offense that I really can't trust out there. And that's why I had to start looking at the Oakland A's. We know looking at the Tampa Bay Rays yesterday, what happened with Arizona. They went all the way into that 12th inning before being able to close it out. And I tell you, Kevin, I was live on In-Game Live Primetime, and they kept getting those runners on base and then not being able to bring anyone home. So I do think the Tampa Bay Rays will be tired here. And when we look at Bradley in his last start, he did give up 6 earned runs. So I'm kind of concerned that the Oakland A's will have the advantage in this one, but I don't want to back them straight up on the money line. I don't even want to take them on that run line at +1.5 in case the Rays come out and shock me. What I'm going to do here is look at the team total of the Oakland A's. I do think they'll be able to get 4 runs in this game. Their team total's coming in at 3.5. To the over, it's -102. So give me the A's to get the runs. I'm not trusting them to get the win, though.
All right. And then, Joe, what about the Giants and their matchup with the Chicago White Sox here? Kyle Harrison getting the ball for San Francisco.
Yeah, Kyle Harrison has been absolutely destroyed in the month of August, but I'm not buying into the fact that the Chicago White Sox are going to get a win here. We know this team is eliminated, and I can't trust them to get anything done, Kevin. I'm going to look at the Giants and take their team total to the over. Over 4.5 runs here coming in at -115 for the Giants. And I do think Chapman has the ability to get the RBI. His RBI is coming in at +115. He's got 61 RBIs on the season, 19 home runs. And Cannon, well, Cannon gives up those big plays, and I don't trust him to limit the bats here of the Giants.
And then lastly, Joe, close it out. Mariners, Dodgers, Gavin Stone has the ball for LA. What do you like?
Yeah, Gavin Stone for LA, and we have Brian Wu coming out here for the Seattle Mariners. These are both two pitchers that I really trust out there on the mound. I do think the Nerfy is in play in this game. That's coming in at minus 132. If you want to look at the first five innings under 4.5, it's minus 128. Gets kind of dangerous there with the Dodgers to keep it under in that. But I do think Gavin Stone over 5.5 strikeouts, I'm expecting him to come out nice and strong at plus 124. We know the Seattle Mariners strike out a heck of a lot out there, Kevin. And if you're looking for...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
For anyone for the home run, I know Ohtani hasn't been really strong with his numbers, but he's coming in for the home run at plus 410. Brian Wu, I think he would allow that home run to Ohtani, if anyone.
All right, there we go. Joe Madden helping us get set here for the baseball board. Joe, appreciate it. As always, best of luck with the slate tonight.
Thanks, Kevin. Best of luck, everyone.
Up next, we've got Craig Mish stopping by the NL and AL wildcard races. What's he looking for? Find out next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live to the right here, it's Game Time Decisions. Joining us now is Craig Mish. You can catch here every single day, 11 a.m. East Coast time on Newswire. Craig, great to talk to you here. The baseball season certainly heating up.
Yeah, it is. And I think that for a lot of teams, this is a dicey time of the year because I think that most people, in terms of fandom, while their sports betting acumen may have been toward baseball, that's going to be shifting a lot, Kevin, as you know, toward football this weekend and next week, too. Mm-hmm. With college football underway. And so, you know, what tends to happen this time of the year, I think for most bettors and honestly, even most fantasy players too, is we lose sight of what happens in August and September for those teams that are kind of out of it. And next year we forget about some performances that happen in baseball in August and September. And so we're approaching that time where I think America's future and America's passion goes toward football.
It certainly does. Let me ask you, though, Craig, do you think that at all impacts the awards where guys who are right now considered in the lead, it's harder to push them off? Or are the people responsible for voting still keeping a close enough eye to where they could be shifted by anything that takes place over the final month plus?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question, Kevin. I think it depends on who you talk to. I think that for somebody like myself, you know, I'm a little bit of an anomaly because I'm still following, but yet a lot of my attention here at Sports Grid does go to football. But I think for most people in the Baseball Writers Association who are voting on these awards, Kevin, they are still at these games all the way through the end of the season. Yeah. So, for example, you know, the writer or the media who's covering the Colorado Rockies, they may not be paying attention to the Denver Broncos just yet. There are people that cover the Broncos that do a fine job for the different papers and outlets as well. So I think it just depends on the individual who votes. Not everybody in the BBWA is covering a team on an everyday basis, but I do think that still a lot of attention is paid. And then even with some of the shift in focus, I think for just the average baseball fan, I think we all would agree that's going to come back at the end of September when we're trying to figure out who's going to get in the postseason.
Yeah, it certainly will. Now, if the voting was done today, I think certainly the expectation is Chris Sale would win NL Cy Young. He's currently about minus 400 in the market to win that award. I am wondering, though, if at any point, Craig, Atlanta goes, man, we're losing a lot of bodies here. Austin Riley news just came out. I know they're going to be activating Ronaldo Lopez. But is there a world, just looking at the recent Chris Sale history, and he's probably going to throw the most innings this year that he has in at least 5 or 6 years, that they're cautious with Sale before we hit the postseason?
Well, I mean, if the Braves are still pushing for it, I think that answer is no. And the other thing, Kevin, with a team like the Braves, you still have 40, 50,000 strong showing up in Atlanta every single night. So I just don't think that you can send that message. If anything, I think what the Braves are doing is probably looking for a waiver claim. Like, for example, when Amed Rosario got let go by the Dodgers, he got scooped up by the Reds the other day. So I think Atlanta will try and do that. They'll continue to fight. I think the only silver lining for Sale and for the Braves is if they don't make it, I don't think anybody would be upset, Kevin. Like, I mean, you look at the amount of injuries that have hit them. I don't think anyone is going to indict Brian Snitker or anyone on their staff or their president, Alex Anthopoulos. I think it's just one of those really bad luck years. But for Sale himself to chase a Cy Young and chase a postseason, Kevin, I think he could even pitch the last game of the Major League Baseball season two if it mattered. So the answer to me is no.
Yeah, and I just think it is bizarre. I think, Craig, the last time we talked to you here on this show, we were like, hey, Braves are going through some injury issues. Yeah, and you were like, yeah, it's not great. We'll see what the – and it's just, hey, by the way, today, Austin Riley, it's just been one of those years. But to your point, a credit to them, they are still certainly in the mix. On the other side of it with the American League, you know, the wild card race clearly involves both Minnesota and Kansas City because as of today, they would be wild card teams. I wonder if at all that's detracted from the momentum they have, both of them, in winning the Central. The Guardians have, you know, slipped a little bit here, and right now Cleveland's only up 2 on Minnesota and 3 on Kansas City. You know, those are really close races here, and that would then all of a sudden shift the Guardians into a wild card race. What do you make of those three teams right now fighting in the AL Central?
Yeah, I think all three teams are very good, and it wouldn't stun me at all if Cleveland was to fall back a little bit. Perhaps Minnesota could take over. I mean, look, Kansas City may have the best player on all three of those teams in Bobby Witt, but let's not discount the most underrated player on those three teams, and that is Jose Ramirez, who, Kevin, I've talked about on many shows. I mean, this trajectory for him is Hall of Fame. Like, this is a phenomenal player who doesn't talk a lot. You don't see him a lot, but he is usually the best player on the field at any time. So I think of those three teams, the way they're constructed is I think Minnesota may have the edge as far as some deep pitching because they do have Pablo Lopez and some others that could get it done. They're deeper. You know, Cleveland's been doing it all season long, sort of strangely. And then Kansas City has the one player above all else. You know, I still wouldn't rule out Boston and maybe some other teams, too, getting hot. But I could see all of this going down to the last day of the season.
Curious, Craig, in kind of the circles that you pay attention to, are you hearing more buzz for Emmanuel Clase, the incredible closer for Cleveland? Because his number in that Cy Young market, look, it looks like it's screwball, but it has moved that suggests he's one of the top three contenders for that award.
Yeah, he's not going to win it, but yeah, he's had a phenomenal year. I think he saved 4 games in a row, if I'm not mistaken, which I don't ever remember seeing. So, look, he's established himself as the best closer in baseball. It's a very volatile position in reality where Class A, Kevin, next year could come in and just not be good anymore. That's how crazy the closer position is. Yeah. There's very few Mariano Riveras, but it just happens. Guys flame out like that. But he's super valuable to what Cleveland is doing. But is he going to win the Cy Young Award? I would put a heavy bet on no.
Yeah, and the numbers still suggest he won't. Right now, that's a 30-1 price. Tarik Skubal is minus 1,900 to win the award. And Skubal stayed healthy this year. But it has been interesting to watch Clase kind of continue to move in that market. And I will say, you mentioned Mariano Rivera. I made sure not to ask you about the Clay Holmes situation during this, because I know you said we talked too much Yankees. But I'll tell you this, Craig, it's not Craig. It's not great. It's not great. Craig, appreciate it. Again, make sure you catch Craig over on Newswire. It should be a fun finish of this baseball season.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Kevin. Have a great night.
All right, always great stuff there from Craig Mish. And again, I didn't want to ask Craig.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
About any of the New York stuff, but I'll say it as many times as I can. This Clay Holmes stuff is not great, man. It's not great. 10 blown saves, made an all-star game. Don't love it. Don't love it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you right here, Game Time Decisions. We're lucky enough Craig Mish has decided to stay around. I roped him in with off-air Yankees conversations. Let me ask you something, again, not Yankees. The Orioles. I was talking a little bit earlier on in this show with Joe Maddon. She has some Gunnar Henderson props tonight, and yep. Gunnar Henderson's all of a sudden started to find that rhythm again, Craig. And I think, you know, I know from our conversations, you've kind of said, let's see who's in the playoffs, and then we'll figure it out from there, because that's the way the baseball playoffs have been working. I wonder if this Baltimore team is going to be able to time this correctly. And obviously, they had an incredible start. Things got a little odd. Not that they were playing terrible baseball, right? But you would think that they would have maybe pulled away a little more. I wonder if this Baltimore team is going to be able to pull away from the Yankees and play their best baseball at the right time, and they will be considered the – whether they win or not is irrelevant to the – they'll become the clear favorites to win the American League by the time we get to the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, Kevin, I'm going to disagree, and I'll tell you why. I think that, you know, and I was asked this – I don't remember what show I was on here on Sports Grid. I actually may have been a radio station in Baltimore, they asked me, and I picked the Orioles, I believe – I picked them to either win the World Series this year or the runner-up to Philadelphia. But people are surprised, Kevin, to a degree, that the Orioles, basically their biggest pitching move was acquiring Trevor Rogers for the Marlins. He's pitched horribly, obviously, with the Marlins. I am not surprised at all, Kevin. And I think what you're saying, in theory, is true. I think every season for the next several, with this Rutschman and Henderson and Kowser and all the offense they have, I think you are right. They're going to try to catch lightning in a bottle. But I don't think you're ever going to see the Orioles at the trade deadline go after some massive player like a Verlander or a Scherzer. Because, you know, Kevin, isn't that what they need? Go right. Like, if you said right now, what do the Orioles need to run away with it, win a few games in the postseason and get to the World Series? They would need somebody behind Burns that you could guarantee could go 5-6 innings. I don't think they're ever going to do that. And because of the way that they run that organization, where they simply don't want to trade guys that they feel are going to get called up the next couple of years, some Oriole fans hate that, but that is going to make the Orioles a postseason team every year, but recognizing that it's a tournament in baseball. This is not the best anymore. This is not five teams, six teams making it. It's a dozen teams. It's a tournament like the NCAA tournament. Whoever gets hot at the right time wins. So it's a very interesting approach that the Orioles have, and I just don't see that changing anytime soon.
So I look certainly agree Rogers isn't the – he can't pitch for them in the playoffs. Like it almost comes off like an innings-eating thing, right?
Yeah.
I think the outlook for them is good, while totally agreeing that it could feel just random when we get there. Where I fully agree with you, and what made the deadline for me due to an Orioles future and a Braves future a bit devastating, was feeling like Blake Snell could have been the biggest swing piece at the deadline. Now, you would know better than me how realistic the Giants trading Snell was and what those offers were like. But yeah. Blake Snell has basically been the best pitcher in baseball since July. And obviously the game after, I think it was the game after the deadline or the second one for him where he threw the no-hitter. Imagine if, to your point, Blake Snell was on the Baltimore Orioles behind Corbin Burns.
Yeah, I think it's a fair assessment, but I think it's a little bit of recency bias because we are, I think it is almost 3 weeks out where he's been still the best pitcher in baseball since the trade deadline. He was really good in July, but he has been awesome since then. So I think it is easy to go back and look and say, hey, maybe they should have done this. But the other part of this, Kevin, the Giants have such a hard time signing anyone. If they're going to give away Blake Snell for anything, they're not going to get him back. I mean, they every year they go for Judge or Correa or some mega free agent, Ohtani. They can't get guys to sign there for whatever reason. They had to overpay that guy from the KBO. This dude hasn't played a game in 3 months. So if the Giants are going to do that, it signals a massive rebuild for them. I don't know what the ownership is going to do in the offseason, but they have to figure out how to get mega players, stars, to sign with the Giants. They're willing to spend the money.
Yeah, and it's a really good point because usually if you're willing to spend, I mean, it's not like it's a bad area to be in, right? I mean, San Francisco's beautiful from what I hear. You would think it would be more effective. But who also knows, because if the wild card race is going to be – I mean, look, they're sitting 500 right now and they're four back of Atlanta – crazier things have happened, right? And I guess time will tell. Craig, I really appreciate the time here. Again, it's going to be a really fun second half of this season.
Always fun talking to you. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, you got it. All right, we'll be right back here. Game Time Decisions, Dave Sharapan, right around the corner.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What if Vlad Jr. wins AL MVP? It's not going to happen. But he's been great for this team, huh? He's batting .317 heading into tonight. He had a home run in that game against Cincinnati. He's batting .422 over his last 30 days. That's crazy. That is absolutely wild. Arizona jumped all over Miami tonight there. That one's 4-1. Grand slam from Del Castillo. Adrian, why not? Okay. Get excited, people. Little grand slam action there. Put the Diamondbacks on top. That one's 4-1 right now. Metsies jump all over. JD Martinez goes deep after a Mark Vientos base knock. So if there's any 1.5 hits, runs, RBI out there, you are in a good spot. That's where the baseball board is right now. Let's get Dave Sharapan in here. Consig, little Boston attire as well. What's the word, man?
Hello, sir. Good to see you. Yeah. Busy running around and had to, you know, come up with something quick. So went with the Boston City Connects. Oh, just to say hello and see what's happening. So, that's it. Baseball.
All right.
That's it.
All right. Now, I will say sometimes, and I don't think Dave ever, well, that's not true. Now, Dave loves to come in sometimes. Lakers are playing the Timberwolves. All of a sudden he found Timberwolf gear, right? Like he likes to do that. But sometimes he does it in a positive direction. I don't think you realize it. All over this Red Sox team total tonight against Kikuchi, 3.5. So the Boston gear certainly stands out. Works for me, Dave. And, Dave, we can kind of circle back to baseball in a bit. I want to actually ask you about the NFL because I didn't realize where the NFL preseason final tally sat. So for anybody that's been betting NFL preseason, and it's kind of funny, I've been doing well, you know, I know for anybody who was involved this weekend, really good weekend of NFL preseason betting. There's a few overs that I've played over the 2 weeks, the Kansas City-Detroit one, which was a 24-23. What I had not realized is betting so far in this preseason has actually not required much handicapping, and it's basically been bet the under and then count the money. Right. Donnie told me this morning on Moneyline it was 27-6 to the under so far. My question to you, Dave, and there's going to be a few of them, is are the books in a position in preseason where they need under? Because I feel like that's always the case in the regular season. But is that the case in the preseason and this is going well for them?
Oh, yeah, it's going fine because they made the numbers. You saw the numbers the second week different than the first. And a lot of guys in the space, a lot of the rhombuses and the parallelograms, quote-unquote experts, they had overs. I mean, a lot of people had overs because the numbers were low. So, yeah, some books did really well. When the games go that majority, I mean, 14-2, K-Dub, 14-2. Ideally, you know, the book would love if there's 16 games, 8 over, 8 under, and we're good. But when you get it so far skewed to the under in anything, yeah, book guys probably planned their Christmas vacation after that, you know, if there was enough handle. I mean, it was a big week. That's a good week.
I was talking to someone, though, because I've been playing a good amount of unders, right, in these preseason games. And, you know, someone said, like, yeah, you know, I guess it makes sense. Like, they don't play a lot of the starters, and, you know, they should go under, right, was essentially what the person said to me. Who doesn't, like, bet a lot of preseason action or anything like that, right? So that's just kind of like the general take. And I said, no, you're right, but you would think the totals would be lower then. Like, you would think that you would have to, if you're in the mindset to bet unders on these slates, I don't want to say you'd have to work for it a bit more, but I don't know, you think some of these numbers would give you maybe more hesitation. Not now, some of them are landing close, right? Like that Cowboys-Raiders game landed 39, I think it closed 40. Right? Under that I had in the Texans-Giants game, 39.5, lands 38. So I'm not acting like everything's kind of a walkthrough, but you would think some of those spots would, some would land on the overside, some would land on the underside. The ones that are getting close are still playing under, but I guess they have no reason to adjust these numbers, Dave, if they're still getting primary over bets.
Correct. And, I mean, you have to consider, too, the preseason is a unique market. There's not a lot of people rushing to the counter. We're in a vacuum here on Sports Grid and, you know, in a content space, right? Like, we're doing it because we love it and we're into it, or, you know, we have to do content and stuff like that. The handle on this stuff is not nearly as much as it, and it's not even close. It's a different sport compared to the regular season. So now you got to beat the bad guys, you know, as the book. So, you know, they're looking to bet you under. You got to wait and see what they're going to do. A lot of times there's a lot of dummy plays, you know, where they'll ship it a play over and books won't move it because they want you to move it up so then they can come back on unders. There's so many games that they're playing, and the preseason is the ultimate cat and mouse game. But K-Dub, it's changing, is it not? 3 instead of 4, a kickoff rule that nobody understands. Joint practices where they already know everything about each other by the time they get to play a game. And it's like, look, I don't want to see you no more. I don't want to practice against you no more. I don't want to play against you no more. Let's get out of here, run the ball, and go home. So I think it's – I don't want to say we're seeing the end of the preseason in the NFL, but we're getting damn close. We're closer to the end than the beginning.
What I would say, though, Dave, is I don't know. I don't remember a time – in recent history, where we were like, oh, man, like preseason football, here comes all the starters. But this has been this way for a while. What I still maintain and what still throws me for a loop is that there is no consensus amongst these teams how much to play these guys. Patrick Bleepin' Mahomes is out there for a quarter. The Falcons don't think Michael Penix should play.
Ever.
Their backup. You know what I mean? It's like, it's very odd the way it is. What I think is tough, it's crazy how it works out, man. But the Steelers-Bills game had a ton of movement, right? Well, they're like, well, Josh Allen's going to play like a quarter and a half. Yeah. And he never touched the field.
Never.
And then they still won the game. They still win the game.
Yeah. The Steelers quarterback situation is a mess, K-Dub. It's a mess. I mean, starters are being named today. Minshew over the weekend, and you know, here in Vegas, they're not even sure he should be the starter. And Jaden Daniels in Washington. Pittsburgh got two quarterbacks, and nobody knows who the starter is. I mean, so it's one of those situations where you're like, man, this is a reason to play the season win under again, I think, if you're looking at it. Like, the Steelers quarterback situation is going to fix itself next week or this week.
I have a question for you, by the way, on the Minshew thing. We'll do it at the break. Here's what I'll say on Pittsburgh. To your point, it was halftime, and there were tweets like, man, they got to give Fields the job. Admittedly, I'd had the closest eye on the game. I'm like, oh, wow, the kid broke out. Awesome.
Right.
He's sitting there. He's like 4 for 5 for about 25 yards at the break. It's like, whoa. Are you kidding me? Like, this is the sample size? I mean, he had like a 20-yard run. And by the way, I think he is the option over Russ. The problem is you basically have to start Russ. That way you can bench him and give Fields the rest of the year. Because if you start Fields and then you have to bench him, then it's a disaster. Because you only gave the kid about 4 or 5 games. The Steelers are in one of the weirder spots we've seen.
Yep.
We're going to hit a break, though. Can Sig sticking around? I have a question for him on Minshew being named starter and those starting quarterback markets and the way those are approached. We'll get to that next with you right here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're back with you right here on Sports Grid. Kevin Wallace, we're joined by Dave Sharapan. Updated baseball board right now. Numbers are the same since we last talked. 2-0 Mets, 1-0 Blue Jays, 4-1 Diamondbacks. I said I had a question for Dave as it pertains to Gardner Minshew being named starter, and that question is actually about the starting quarterback markets. And Dave, I don't know if you've ever kind of booked them, but I know you know enough about these processes here. Why, with a bet like that, right, they name Minshew the starter, why do the books hold the money until that game kicks off and Minshew hits the field?
You got to know that he's the starter. It's probably in the house rules. And if it's not, it should be written in the house rules that he has to start game one. So when he comes out, takes the first snap as the starter, you get paid. Anything can happen between now and then. The coach can name him, and he did in Minshew's case. And, you know, I know that people may or may not have gotten down on it before it was taken off. That's good. Just saying. Now we wait. And you got 2 weeks until he comes out, takes that first snap, and then you get the cash. So rooting for you. But we can't grade it now as the book because what if something happens? So if the bet is who will be the starting quarterback week one for the Las Vegas Raiders, and you wait and – you know, check that box in the grading system, you're good to go after that. We can't do anything with it before. Your bet is in limbo. It says pending. So now every time you open up your pending bets, it's probably sitting right there. You're staring at it every day, right?
Yeah. So what's I think interesting, though, and why it's very unique, but if it's in limbo, then where'd the market go? Where's O'Connell at 100-1 to win the job?
Well, you can turn it back on. I mean, that's at the book's discretion. You can turn it back on, but that would also allow you to arbit or, you know, do whatever you need to do. So now we can just take the market down and go, they got us, you know, we don't need to accentuate it worse. I mean, if it wins, it wins, you get paid and it's fair game, but God forbid, you know, there's a debate or something happens in the last preseason game. I would guess that Minshew won't see much time in the last preseason
I don't think he'll touch the field.
I don't think so either.
I don't think he'll touch the field.
Would you play him if you were, you know, Antonio? Would you play? No. I would play him.
No, I wouldn't. Now that I, you know, was able to sneak it in, I personally wouldn't even let him practice. I'd actually send him up to the Bahamas. If I'm honest with you. I don't even know if I let him
go.
You got
to learn the playbook. What are you talking about?
Nah, he can bring it with him. He can bring it with him. We'll do Zoom meetings. You know, it's just, I'm telling you, but I've always found markets like this super interesting, right? Because you sit there with a bet like this, and this is just kind of where you talk about, I try and do this, you know, the mindset of a bettor. And you make this bet, and a lot of people are like, man, that's awesome, right? But then you sit there and you're like, all right, so I have to wait 3 weeks for this. And if they give it for me, I didn't accomplish anything, right? I just clicked the correct button. I didn't accomplish a thing. And if it loses, it's the dumbest money I've ever lost in my entire life.
That's the best line you've ever said. That's pretty good, because you really will feel like, what am I doing? Like you start to question a lot of things if this one doesn't get there, you know, and you go, all right, I might be done with that betting. It's a limited market. And some books choose not to put them up. If they put them up, more power to them. You have to monitor those things. And those markets that move on information, social media, and different things like that, hardest stuff for the book to manage. And some guys on the other side of the counter will take that personal. Like, that guy beat me. He's, you know, he usually bets $20 and he bet a dime on that. I'm going to put him in a bucket and mark his account and blah, 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 blah. It's business. You know, you got the best of it. That's fine.
It's funny, man. Like, I always wonder with stuff like this, like the Paul Skeen stuff we talked about, right?
Yeah.
They never throw the cash out. Like, I still want, like, throw the cash out on the Minshew thing. Save yourself $20. I'll probably let you off the hook, right? I'll give you another one, Dave. By the way, listen, it's not going to be worth a damn thing at the end of the day, but, I mean, you know what's the third best odds to win American League Cy Young? Who used to be 200-1 to win that award?
Right now was third best odds is Paul Skeens, no?
No, American League. American League.
American League was 200-1.
You remember?
Class A? Class A? Now we're talking.
This is one of those things, man. And I look, we'll see what the end result is, right? I don't know how to so Skeens 200-1. He got as low as about 2-1, right?
To be honest, I'm not
excited. Classe 200-1. He's now has the third best odds.
Can he win it?
I don't know. People tell me no. I mean, here's the crazy thing. Probably not, right? Well, what happened to all these? I got a cash out still sitting on my phone for the Trey Turner MVP bet. Give me the cash out on the Class A bet. Give me what you owe me. I don't understand.
We'll email customer service. We'll see if we.
Yeah, can. They forgot. They were. But it's such an interesting thing with betting. And I'll be honest, I've seen these before, but this year, especially with the baseball, I try to apply it a little bit more. Did it a little bit last year in the NFL. There were a few different spots. But I guess the theory is if you can take enough 200-1s into the top three odds of a market, eventually you only need to hit one of them for it to be worth it. So can one out of 100 of the guys get home? And then I guess you've done your job, but it's
right.
It's funny, like I see it and I don't even get excited, but that's because Skeens hardened me on everything. That's kind of the issue there. Dave's gonna stick around. I got a WNBA thing for King Sig before he gets out of here. Oh, he should know where I'm going. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're back with you right here. We're live on SportsGrid. We're making it happen with Dave Sharapan. I mentioned we wanted to bring up the WNBA because quite a bit of movement in the WNBA championship market. At one point, the Indiana Fever were 100-1. Whoa. All hope was lost. They've played two games since the All-Star break, Dave. They are
pretty good
30-1.
Yep.
They're 30-1. Just for the record, the preseason number was 23-1.
Correct.
The preseason cap was Caitlin Clark will be a top 10 player in this league. Check. And their best basketball will be played as the year goes on. A 2-10, what were they, 3-10? They're now 13 yep. and 15. Pretty good. 10-5 over the last 15 games, pretty good.
Can we make the playoffs? First question. Can we make the playoffs?
100%. Huge favorites to make.
First round matchup would be who? The Liberty?
That I don't, I'm going to, listen, hand up, I do not know. Right now they're the 7 seed. I don't know if that draws you Connecticut because I don't know if they do East-West like that.
Ah, okay.
I'm being honest. I don't, I have.
Yeah, they do East-West. So we got to
well,
get
that
out
point,
of the East
then,
first. So it's either Connecticut or the Liberty, right? I think
no,
that's what it is.
Oh, yeah. So they play Connecticut. I'll take that. I'll take that. Right?
I've been watching the games at home, and they were – I mean, that was fun on Sunday. I got caught down at the book at Circa, and it was on the one screen right directly in front of me. And yeah. there were people in the book, like, cheering because they had bet them. And so I was watching a game, and, like, I don't want to say it's coming together, K-Dub, but, you know, it looks like it's coming together. This playing your best basketball at the end, there's a lot to that. It looks like it's working.
I mean, again, the first 13 games, they're 3-10. Since that point, they're 10-5. That's 15 games. That's a bigger sample size. It's the more recent sample size. And by the way, that's 10-5 is a 60% win percentage.
Yes, sir.
That's pretty good. Pretty good.
That's pretty good.
You can. So yeah. that's just by the way, they were 1-9, 1-8. I mean, you know, it's been even, you know, better than that. So
yeah.
Look, we'll see. We'll
just get him in. Just get him in. Like all these tickets yeah. and these things we talk about, just, you know, you and I just get together every, you know, Monday, Tuesday, and then throw out these tickets and talk about you. It's good numbers. Just get in.
There's a Heisman one coming. We'll get to
that.
I'm figuring out, because we do the CFT on Saturday. That's when we do all the futures. But I can't not give the crowd here at least a treat. I don't know. Do we do title? Do we do Heisman? There's a big Heisman one out there, Dave. There's a big one.
40-1 or higher? Triple digits, K-Dub?
Oh, we're a little under that. We're a little under that. We're a little under that. We're a little under that.
Do we tease this and wait for tomorrow for this, or are you going to close the show with it?
Maybe we'll do Thursday. Maybe we'll do Thursday. I want to give people the rest of the baseball card. Dave, great stuff as always. In-game live. Where he'll be covering that Red Sox game going up against the Houston Astros, where we like that Red Sox team total over 3.5. That number's at -115. Like the righties in that lineup against Kikuchi, a lefty himself. I know he's been good for Houston, but I think he can struggle. We're also on under 9 Rangers Pirates in that game, as well as under 9 Royals Angels. Looking for some bounce backs there. Fulmer, Lugo, and then Dunning and Ortiz. I did take that Rays money line. Listen, could be a little square spot, but and I, you know, this Tampa team's killing me. They don't stop winning, but I got to get involved with Tampa Bay -125 with Taj Bradley. And you might have heard Dave. I mean, come on, White Sox plus a run and a half. I like this cannon. This kid's got moxie. To be honest with you, he might be the second best pitcher on the Yankees if we had him right now. Can't stand that ball club, my oh my. Well, I'm just saying, Jonathan Cannon's got juice, baby. I know the Yanks hit him. We might let Jonathan Cannon close. We could have let what's his name close. Crochet. He could have opened and closed for us, man. You kidding me? A little bit of this, a little bit of that. Don't forget that Jackson Merrill hits, runs, RBIs. That's Sizzle City right there on the kid Jackson Merrill. So we've got that at -125. That's your baseball board. I'm excited, man. I will make a promise. We will not forget baseball on Game Time Decisions. That's my promise to you. I'll see you tomorrow, Dinger Tuesday.